Thank you, my good brother Plica. It is a real honor to have our brother Plica reading the scripture and to be with us. We are in the morning service engaged in learning this book called the Bible. And the key of the Bible is in one text in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. And is the text that reveals what the Bible is for. It's good to know, if you have a book, what the book is for. And in Hebrews 10, 7, the Bible said, in the volume of the book, in to honor God, I just brought my King James Bible here so that the book today we're going to study demands the King James, the book of Romans. So, and I make quotation from the King James, and it's very simple. Hebrews 10, 7, it says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. So what volume we're talking about? When you open your Bible, as soon as you open your Bible, in some Bibles you have introductions and you have maybe charts, but before the book of Genesis, there is a page that said the Old Testament. And that is the first division of the Bible with 39 books. In the Catholic Church, they have more than that, the 39 books. And then as you move your Bible to the center, you find the Gospel of Matthew. And before the Gospel of Matthew, then you have a place where it said the New Testament. So in the volume of the book means the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right? And that text is also found in Psalm 40. So it's very emphatic that the Bible is all about Jesus. All right? That is what the Bible is about. And that's where we study for a year and a half, the Old Testament, 39 books. And we found Jesus in many forms and in many ways. We found a prototype of the Lord Jesus. We found a shadow of the Lord Jesus. We found in the book of Leviticus through the different offerings, the work of the Lord Jesus in our life, the holiness that Lord Jesus produces in our life as we believe him and follow him. But then we move not too long ago to the New Testament. And the Old Testament is the foundation. Without the Old Testament, you will never understand the New Testament. And then we already went through the four Gospels. And remember this, the Gospels are not a biography of the Lord Jesus. The Gospels are the fulfillment of four prophecies about the Lord Jesus. Three of them in Zechariah and one in Jeremiah. And you have, if you go on the internet and you click my sermons, you have them over there. If not, I just give you copies, all right? And so Zechariah have a word, behold, and another word, branch. The word branch in the Old Testament refers to the Messiah. And so Zechariah said there will be a king, the branch. And Matthew is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Then Zechariah said there will be a servant, the branch. And that referred to Jesus. And the gospel of Mark is written as the servant of God. Then Zechariah said there will be the Son of Man, the branch. And then Luke's gospel is about the Son of Man, the branch. That explained clearly. Then Jeremiah talks about, behold, the mighty God, the branch. And then the book of John, entire book of John, talks about Jesus as God. So the four aspects of the Lord Jesus are explained in the gospel. So a Jewish person do not have any doubt about it. And make no mistake that there is no other person except Jesus, the Messiah. Last Sunday, we went in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, remember, carry the history of the Lord Jesus. A handful of Jews, 12 of them, maybe 20 with the women's in a house, don't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit came and came into their life. And an explosion in Acts chapter 2 came about. And then the gospel move on. And remember what the book of Acts teaches about the church. the church have two people, pastors and missionaries, because from chapter 1 to 11 was the work of the Apostle Peter as a pastor. He visits, he cares, he listens to people. Then from chapter 12 all the way to the end, the work of the Apostle Paul, the missionary. And he went into Europe and he went into Greece. And you will see in the letter today, he wrote this letter to Rome and his trip to Spain. He wanted to evangelize Spain and so on. There was no limit. Acts 1:8 said, "And ye shall be my witness after you receive the Holy Spirit." First in Judea and so on. And the Apostle Paul understood that, and he moved. He don't want to. He wanted to speak to the Hebrew, but God said, "No, you know Latin already, and you know Greek, so you go." And the Lord has to show him in a mighty way the way to go. All right. So that's the book of Acts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, open your Bible to the book of Romans. Unlike other epistles, Romans was written to a church that Paul never visited. The other places when he wrote is he first visit, that's in the book of Acts, and then later on he write a letter to them. To the church of Rome, he never was there. Look at chapter 1, verse 10, 11, and 15. Making requests, if by any means, now at length, or at some times, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you. I really want to see you. That I may impart or may give unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established or you may be strong. All right? And so look at verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. They are at Rome also. And so therefore, this is a place the Apostle Paul never been. Now in chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible reveals who wrote the letter. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, as someone have been sent by God. Now, Romans is the longest, the most systematic, and the most profound theology of all the epistles. Romans, the most systematic. When you want to know doctrine, and the doctrine of sin, and the doctrine of many doctrines, you read the book of Romans. Now, the four Gospels present the work and the words of the Lord Jesus. Romans study the means why Jesus died. In the Gospels, you study the value of his death, give you everlasting life. And the book of Romans said, now because you have everlasting life, because you have been forgiven, because you are a Christian, this is the way you live. Otherwise, look at how sin, ugly sin is. It's just amazing, all right? Now, it is amazing the other epistles were written as an essay, but no Romans. Romans was written in a way that Paul used question and answer format. In when you read a paper and have questions and answers, the paper title is Catechism. That's a Latin word for question and answer, Catechism. You maybe heard in the Roman Catholic Church, the Catechism of the Roman Church. And we just got from Angela all her life in those 3,000 books. I just hold to 20 of them from the Catholic Church on the Catechism. In other words, here is a question. How man should live? And then they give you an answer. And then Paul, he said this, and then here's God's answer. Here, and gonna very easy to learn. And if you were a Catholic before at 12, remember, you had to take communion. And so you learn all of these questions by memory. The only thing is you have to learn the questions by heart. All right? Here it is. So it's a Roman, it's a book written in form of question. And it's a book that give you a systematic presentation of the Bible doctrine of sin and redemption. Now, but the book of Romans is much, much deeper than that. It is a book of practical exhortation. And chapter 13, all the way to chapter 16, tells you how to live in an ungodly empire, the Roman Empire, in an ungodly situation. They were not in a Jewish situation where the Sanhedrin was the government and the Jewish law was the constitution. They are in Rome where Nero is the big guy and they do whatever they want to. And so here is a book for you and me to live in an ungodly country like America. How are we going to handle this? All right? It's amazing how practical it is. Now, the good news about Jesus Christ is more than facts to be believed. It is also a life to be lived. So Christianity is not just the facts of Christianity. That's what the world knows. Christianity is the essence of God, where God changes people in a way they've never been before. All right? Now, we're going to use the question and answer then, the book was written. And of course, I don't have 5 months with you here sitting to go over the book, but I have half hour, and I'm going to glance at some of the questions. Question and the answer. Some of them will be theological, some of them will be practical. But if you read in your home and you mark the questions, then make a circle like this and an arrow, the answer. Do that. Will take about a year if you do it slowly. A chapter a day for 2 hours, and then do it like this, because the questions are hidden inside. I have one of my presentations in the seminary was my Greek Bible with questions and answers in Romans. And so I have selected from that work that I did 40 years ago some of the questions. Question number one, chapter 2, verse 3. How should we live? Look at verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man that judges them, which do you things, which do such things, that does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Here's a question. Do you think that you live the life in the way you want to, and you will escape the judgment of God? You know, that's a great question. Some people told me, I'm a Christian and I'm free and I can do what I want to. That's the question. You are a Christian. Can you do what you want to with your money, with your life, with your lifestyle, with your sentiments? Can you be whatever you want to be, even though you are a Christian? That's the question. And you think, he said, if you live in the way you want to be, you will not be judged? Okay, here's the answer, a little backwards. Chapter 1, verse 18 is the answer to verse 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I really like to change that word hold for the real word, the word suppress. If you get a Coca-Cola can and you drink the Coca-Cola, and then you're going to save the can. You don't save the can like this. You put it on the floor, you smash the can, and then you put it in a box. Well, that's the word. You suppress. So let's read the text again. Look at how simple it is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The fact that you suppress the truth doesn't mean that the unrighteousness is gone. It's still there. And God is mad, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest or is plain in them, for God has showed it to them. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things they are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one is have an excuse to live in the way they live, because, verse 21, that when they knew God, they glorify him not, or they honor him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, and the word is empty, in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Wow! I mean, we are living in those times. You read the newspapers and you read that Victor has sent us an email on business. People are struggling in business to keep themselves clean in America, a free country. Look at verse 28, then all the way to 32. And even as they did not lie to retain God in their knowledge, like the Congress of the United States, the President of the United States, many people say, I don't care about God. Maybe you say, I don't care about God, I don't care about God. Look at what happened. And even as they did not lie to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Wow. When I read in the paper, eloquent people, when the Queen of England approved what God disapproved on marriage, this is because God has moved himself backwards, and now they are thinking by themselves. The Holy Spirit moved away from that area, and men are thinking in that way. Wow, it's more deeper than their thoughts. Is that God is not in them or holding them back. Give them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, or the best word is proper. Wow. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, the liberty of sex, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, that means strife, deceit, malignity means malice, whispers, backbiter, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers or agreement breakers, without natural affection or without natural capacity to love, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So the question again in chapter 2, verse 3, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. You think that you live in the way you want to, and you will escape the judgment of God, said. After reading that, I'd be scared to death if I'm one of those persons. You know why I'd be scared to death? Because I no longer can think with God. God has left me, and I will cry. So God come back to me and give me the restraining power that will restrain my dirty heart and my terrible heart. Jeremiah in 17:9 said, the heart of man is deceitful. Who will know it? Verse 10 said, I, the Lord, knows the heart. Here's he knows. But God is not going to put up with you all the time. He's going to move away. And when he moves away, you are left to yourself. And that is chaos. Wow. America is experiencing this in the high places. Question one. Question number two, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. These two verses refer to a book of Habakkuk. Paul was a scholar in the Old Testament, and he wrote Romans on the basis of the Old Testament. And Habakkuk 2:4 said, how shall we live? All right? A lot of people tells me, Pastor, I need power to be successful. Right here is the answer. How shall we live? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, verse 16, of Christ, for it is the power of God. The power of God is not to heal somebody. The power of God is the gospel. The gospel is the dunamis, the dynamite of God. We got the word dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite of God unto salvation for everyone that believe. It's not automatic. Coming to church and sitting in church and going home doesn't make you a believer. You have to believe. Wow. He said, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek or to the Gentiles. So God makes everybody equal. We are all sinners. We're all heading on to the judgment of God, but don't have to be in that way when you believe the gospel. And 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 3 tells you what the gospel is, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He paid the penalty of sin. He paid the penalty of disobedience that Adam had. And so he paid it. And when you believe, then the Bible tells you, you are free. All right? So the question is the gospel. Look at verse 17. For therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How should we live? The question. In Habakkuk 2:4, the answer is the judge shall live by faith. The judge means you are a believer, you live by faith. Like what, Pastor? One example, chapter 12, please. Same book, chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Look at how we live as Christians. He used the word beseech. That's a very nice English word. I would use a word that I beg you. I beg you. I beg you, therefore, Romans 12, 1, brethren, is talking to believers. Ooh, it's talking to you and to me. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present, that you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God knows that our body can cause a lot of trouble. And God knows that our body has evil desires constantly. And God said, just use your body as a sacrifice. It's easy to go step by step on your knees. And in South America, the Catholic Church has a lot of steps to the Cristo Redentor in Brazil. And the ladies start the trip at 10 o'clock in the morning, end up by 2 or 3 o'clock on the top with the blood and the knees and so on. That's easy to make. But using a sacrifice for your body, I want that, but I know that's wrong, and I will not do it. That is the key to Christian living. That's living by faith. Oh, I want that. Oh, I can have that. But that, is that convenient? Is that proper? Is that blessing God? No, I will not have it if it's not that way. That makes a difference. Young people, watch your body. Make your body holy unto the Lord. Be proud of your body. Be proud of your holiness. Be proud that you're a child of God before God, and that you really stand for God and you speak with your body. Because that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. I like that. Stop being jammed into the world's mold. I wrote in my Bible. You read magazines, you read psychology, you read all kinds of books, and they try to mold you into the world's book. And the world is blind, the world is dead, and very soon you are moved to the section of unbelief, and no longer you have holiness in your life. How shall I live? I shall live by faith, believing what God said, and living what was said. Wow. God said, I should be coming to church. Hebrews 10 25, do not forsake the assembly of yourself together, as many do, but you don't do it because you believe in God. You can go on vacation, you can do all kinds of things, sure, but then just coming to church in a casual way, that is not Christian. You have to come, you have to be devoted, and there are very few churches that provide a lot of service for you to be. We have a tremendous service before this one. Brother Wayne was preaching on the Bible. We have a tremendous service tonight on the book of Ezekiel. I put Pastor Greg to sweat by giving the assignment. I saw the book was difficult, so he can do it. And I enjoy sitting here on the front and watching him sweating and going through the scripture. He's going to learn. They did it to me 37 years ago. The radio said, you speak every day a chapter of the Bible. What? Yeah, do it. I was sweating, but I learned. My friend, here is what it said. Be transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you follow God, when you do what God said, then you get the blessings of God, and you cannot hold it, like let Malachi say, you cannot hold it with your hands, so much blessings. Most of the churches around are in debt, deep debt. We're trying to buy a church. They have a payment per month, $17,000 a month, because they owe $1,700,000. They cannot sell it. Nobody can buy it. I can buy it, We can buy it. Very soon we can buy it. But we don't want to buy it because the church has too much expenses and running the church. See, you have, God gave you a gugutza, a brain, to say, okay, this is good, this is not good. This I can buy, and this I can pay, and this I can do. But people say, well, if you buy that, people will come. I don't want those people that come because of a building. I want people that come because God has sent them. I tell you, you need to live pleasing to God. So question number two, how should we live? By faith, believing what God said and leaving what God said. Young people, stand strong and do this. Question number three, chapter 2, verse 28. I was teaching Hebrew in a Hebrew school in Hayward. And a short Hebrew fellow came to me and said, I'm a Hebrew, I'm a Jew. A professor. He said, I heard that you are teaching Hebrew and you have a lot of students in your class. This is what I'm talking about 30 years ago. And they like you. I said, well, if they like me or not, they have to study Hebrew and pass the class. But I want to correct you, sir. You are not a Jew. Woo! You have to see these minds. Oh, you are a Gentile and this and the other. Well, who is a Jew is the question here. The answer, verse 28, chapter 2. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. You know what it means? My mama and papa was born in Jerusalem, so I'm a Jew. I'm from the tribe of Dan, or I'm from the tribe of Nathanael, and my great, 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 great ancestors. And you can trace your ancestry back to the 12. And they think they are a Jew. What they say? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward. Now, in America, it's hard to explain this because every boy is circumcised when he's born, but not in any other country of the world. The difference between me and the Jew is that I'm not circumcised and the Jew is circumcised, okay? So when the Bible said here, that circumcision means at 8 days, remember, Genesis 17, the boy had to be cut and then circumcision is made, and that makes a Jew. That's what they thought, what the Bible said. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. In other words, a Jew is a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You say, are you sure, Pastor? Well, this is the book of Romans, then 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, let's go to Galatians, just for a minute. Galatians chapter 3. And look in the book of Galatians in chapter 3 and in verse 28 and verse 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I told this Jew professor, I said, I'm Abraham's seed, son of Abraham. That's an insult for a Hebrew to say to a Gentile telling him, I'm a son of Abraham and you are not. Wow, I'm a son of Abraham. Because, see, God has not destroyed the Old Testament. God is okay. But Abraham had to believe God and move from his land. And you have to believe, move from your unbelief and believe that Jesus Christ has paid for your sins clearly. Then you are a Jew. So a Jew is somebody who believes, not somebody who was born, said the Apostle Paul. Back to question number 4, chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Now, he's speaking like a Jew now. Remember, he was proud. He was a Regalation. He was proud. I'm superior. I'm a PhD. He was a PhD. And I'm a Jew. I'm superior to everybody. So now, thinking back in his own personality, look at what he says in verse 9. What then, are we better than they? Are we Jewish people better than these other people? Okay, chapter 4 and verse 3. All right, look at these. Chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? Abraham, our father, has pertaining to the flesh. What shall we say? The Abraham, I'm in question number five because the time is locking me. What shall we say then, the Abraham our father, pertaining to the faith hath found? For the Abraham was justified by works. He had therefore to glory, but not before God. In other words, he said, how a person becomes saved? How do you become justified before God? The answer, verse 3. For what says the scripture? Remember me? I use all the time this. For what says the scripture? And let's find out. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Not by church membership like the Roman Catholic Church wants to do. If you are a member of the Roman Catholic Church, now you are saved. No, sir. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's clear. Look at in verse 12, chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for all have sinned. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. In other words, as Abraham sinned and make everybody a sinner, Jesus died and died to justify our sin and makes everybody who believe a saved person. And so the question then is, how you become saved? It's through Jesus. It's not through the church. It's not through baptism. It's not through all of this. It's through Jesus. How do you know? Well, that's what the Bible said. Now, I want to get this one, chapter 6, verse 1. This is one. People are believers, and they say, well, if I sin, God forgive me. I don't worry about it. I'm a believer. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we keep on sinning, living like the old time? And yes, I go to church. I'm a member of this church. Yes, I believe in Jesus, but I live my life in the way I want it, they told me. I live in the way. You don't want to tell me how to live. I live in the way I want it. I do what I want. I'm free in America. The question is, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the apostle answered in verse 2 to 6, look, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that in the likeness as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That makes us very cautious because sin is ugly and we should not do it. It's ugly. It's something terrible. You should not tolerate it in your life. You should pray for victory. You should pray to live in the newness of life. What this world needs to see is people who really love the Lord in truth and heart. Wow. The book of Romans makes you scared, don't it? Chapter 8, verse 33. There are some people who said, well, if you do this or do the other, you are no longer a Christian. Once you are a Christian, are you always a Christian? That's a good question. No? That's the question. Verse, chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, now that you are a Christian, can people separate you from God? Look at the answer. It is God that justifies. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, no circumstances, nothing that happened in your life will separate you from the love of God. Neither you should be separated from the love of God. Doesn't matter what happened in your life, God loves you and you love God. Thank you, Lord. We are knowing that way, don't we? You know, somebody do something to you. I remember my mother. Don't go and visit this girl. I like the girl. There's blonde, blue eyes, you know. I was young, Latin. And my mother said, you know, 30 years ago, that family did this to our family. What this have to do? I like the girl. See what it is? This is not the way God deals with you. Shall tribulation, 35, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, shall be separate? No, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. We as believers need to know how to deal with sorrow. We as believers need to know how to deal with hard times, because we're going to be victors if we do it right. Nobody is able to put us down because we have God in our heart. Verse 38, for I am persuaded, that means convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor high, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see where the love of God is? Is in Christ. It's not just love in general. Love those who are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, you cannot claim the love of God. That's very important. So what a book. You read it and you say, boy, Christianity is more serious than what I thought. You read the book and you say, boy, this book of Christianity is more difficult than any other book I ever read in my life. God is not pleased with just coming to church. God is pleased when we have difficulties and we say, God, tell us what to do. Tell us what to do. This I did wrong. Now forgive me and tell me how to repair this, how to move on in this. You know, you cannot ignore wrong, thinking, well, if I don't deal with that, it never happened. It's going to follow you. It's going to follow you. David said, "Oh, my sin is always before me," until he confessed it. He said that in Psalm 32. After Psalm 51, he never said it again. But if you do not confess sin, your sin is always before you. If you don't do it right, it's always before you, until you do it right. God is not going to let you. If you're a child of God, God is not going to let you know out until you deal with the situation. And that's what happened today with the Church of God in America and around the world. We are accepting each other. We accept only the thing that God accepts. That's it. There will come very hard times for me as a pastor, when maybe the authorities will ask me, do you accept this or you accept the other? I say, I only accept what God accepts. Whatever God said, I do it. So what the government say that? Well, Acts chapter 5, you remember? Peter said, should we obey you guys or God? And then you visit me in jail and bring me chocolate cake. But this is it. Now, in our simple life, without going to the extreme of that, in our simple life, your choices should be in that way. Should I spend this money here and I don't have money for God or what? That's very important. Before buying a house, I never took a penny what belonged to God. His tithe is his tithe, and I never bought anything that will block me for the possibility of not giving the tithe. That's what God provides in a miracle way. We have given to the missionaries all over, and we have a pay. I say it last Sunday, and I say it again, and we have a payment coming. How are we going to pay? God, how are we going to pay? He said, I want to kill one of yours. That's very bad, no? For us, not for the person. The person is in heaven. And that person that you don't know, Pastor, that you don't know the heart, that person has a heart for your church. Who knows that Angela Mozart has a heart 100% for this church? Nobody. God knew it. He said, we need that one so that you have the possibility of payment. It made me cry how God designed things in this world. And we take the liberty, and we take the liberty of doing whatever we want to. Come on, Christians, read Romans and repent. Actually, better. Go to chapter 13 and verse 11. This is what you and I need to do. Paul said this in chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time, now it's a very tough time, to awake out of a sleep. Christians, awake out of a sleep. Christians, awake out of a sleep. The government is not about the church. The power of the dollar is not about the power of God. Christians, awake. Be faithful. Follow God. Give God what belongs to God. Give your life to God. Walk with God. And you will see the glory of God in you and your family and all around. I did a wedding of my life. And people still coming and writing letters to me. But I met a family I never met before. But they were true Christians. True Christians. We talk and chat and plan for these two more than what they ever thought. My granddaughter called me yesterday from the hot weather in Washington. She was waiting for Nathan to come around, and they are moving from one apartment to the other. And she said the words that I never heard before. She said, Abuelita and Papi, Papi is me. I owe everything that happened to you. I thought, why did she say that? We cannot have this unless you. I give a lot. I leave a lot of my income to my children. Like Victor does for his daughter and the others. So these are our children. It's not our money. We protect our children. We want them to succeed. But she said, you give me Jesus in your life when I was 1 year with you. You pray with me in the morning. You walk outside and show me driving at 5:30 in the morning. You prepare my breakfast. You want to be sure that I read the scripture. You want to be sure that God is on it. Grandpa, God is in my life. You saw it, I saw it, and he get his glory. What else you want? What else you want? That your children will tell you, thank you for what you have done. You show me God, and God will do the rest. Whether they are doctors or garbage collectors, doesn't make any difference. What key is, we need to show our people God. Grandparents, get busy. Show these young people God. And the only way to show God is read the scripture. Is that right? You read the scripture like my grandma did. I don't want it in the face. You read the scripture. Wow. It's illegal in America, but you read the scripture. You read the scripture. You live the Christian life because the young people watch. They watch. If what you say is what you do. Your neighbors watch. The guy at McDonald's watch. And everybody watching, are you doing what you said you are? And when we do it by the mercy of God, boy, the glory of God shines, shines, shines. And our church will shine and our missionaries will shine if we follow God's counsel. Wake up is the message. Lord, help us to wake up. Help us to move on as Christians, to walk like Christians. Help us to be the people that you want us to be. Help us to show the people that our belief is not in vain. Help the people in around our neighborhood, those who listen over the internet, those who listen over the radio. Help them to walk with you. Help them to show to the people around them you. Oh, Lord, it costs sacrifice and costs us a lot of money to do that. But it's all right. Love costs you your son. And so, Father, we are so selfish sometimes. We think for ourselves. Oh, forgive us, God. And give us a mind to serve you and to let others know that you are a God of love and justice, that you are a Lord, God of compassion, but also a God of severity. Help us to show these people that we really believe. In Jesus we pray. Amen.